All right, Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. So Diana, the Princess of the Amazons, better known as Wonder Woman, has spent 82 years saving the world in DC comic books and TV shows and has fought alongside Batman and Superman with her sword and lasso of truth. And this weekend, Warner Brothers finally released its theatrical production of Wonder Woman. We've watched our favorite superheroes in the movies, but many have enjoyed watching them, and they're our favorite characters on television. So who is your favorite live-action TV superhero? TV, live-action, 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text me. Roger, do you have a fave?
Well, I was... Superman was my first TV superhero. I was...
From the 1930s,
yep. I was told by my parents not to turn the TV on when I got home from school before they got home from work. And they'd always check the TV to make sure...
Was it hot?
Well, yeah, it was one of those tube ones, yeah, to see if it was hot.
That's awesome. Think about
and,
that time.
And I would always turn it off.
It's like feeling the roof of your car.
Yeah.
When you say, you know, how long have you been home? Oh, Dad, I've been home for a couple hours.
And yeah,
he'd go feel the roof of your car.
Yeah.
To see if it was still warm. You could do that to the television.
Oh, definitely. Because it was a tube TV. It put out tons of heat.
Yeah.
And...
So do you, Roger Badish.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Good.
So I would, you know, I would watch, they were the reruns, obviously, the old black and white shows with Steve Reeves. And I would turn the TV off right away and then, like, fan the back of the TV to try to dissipate the heat. Which never worked. But they always were afraid I was going to get on the roof of the house and try to pretend I was Superman.
George Reeves,
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And try to fly off the roof. And, of course, that didn't happen until I was a little bit older. But then when we started getting into the campy Batman, which at one point was on two nights a week.
That's right.
And I was delivering newspapers at the time. I was now in junior high and delivering newspapers, and I would rush to get home to watch it. But even better than Batman, I loved, and he wasn't really a superhero, but he was a caped and a costume character.
Green Hornet?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
With Kato.
Great,
oh, my goodness.
Great
theme song,
yeah.
The car,
yeah.
Kato jumping and chopping on people, and the stun gun. The stories were goofy as all get up. And it was campy because that's what they were playing to. But that's what I grew up with. But I was trying to put it all in perspective because I really grew up long before that with comic books.
Yeah.
My friend down the street.
Just came to life.
Yeah. My friend down the street had piles of comic books in his closet at home. And I would, instead of delivering newspapers, which I should have been doing, I would be at the drugstore a block away from the junior high reading the newspapers in the stacks. They would have, you know, the wheeled or the round carousels with the comics in them.
I remember.
And I would see, the latest one, because I couldn't afford to buy them. My folks didn't want me buying them. And my dad found me there one night instead of delivering newspapers. So that didn't last that long. But I grew up on the comic books. And so when the shows came along, that just added to my joy.
Of course.
But Green Hornet for me... I think that was the one that really got me real excited to want to watch it.
I love this. That Superman. You know, I'm going to go back to Superman for a minute.
Okay. All right.
That was filmed the first season in black and white, all the rest in color. But nobody saw it in color until the 1960s when it was syndicated.
Right.
Yeah. But it was cool that they filmed some of that in color. And then the Green Hornet was a spinoff of Batman. And it was only on for one season, by the way. So, you know, you think about... It was 26 episodes. That was it. Yeah, of the Green Hornet. What is this? 630 Underdog. Well, animated. That would be animated.
All right, but it's still a superhero.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Batman would absolutely be my hands down a favorite with Adam West, of course, and Burt Ward. And you're right. It was on 2 days a week. I was looking at this, that 120 episodes, so it was only three seasons.
See, yeah.
That's another one. It was only just a handful of seasons.
It started at one night a week.
But you know it takes like 5 years almost 4.5 to 5 seasons now to get to 100 episodes.
Oh, yeah. Well, and because the contract is for less episodes each year now.
Yeah, 22.
Yeah.
Where they were doing 40
yeah.
at the time. In fact, that's exactly what they did for Batman, especially being on 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at some of the history here.
Yeah, it started out as 1 day a week, and then it got so popular.
Yeah.
Everyone was, I learned how to draw the insignia, like on everything.
It was going to be a 1 hour show. And at some point they said, okay, you know what really made the show something is when they had the two reel serials, which were on in the 1940s. There was two different rounds of Batman in the movie theaters where, you know, they would play a movie. And think about this, Tom, you'd go see your favorite movie beforehand. You'd see the Batman part one. And you'd have to wait until the next time you went to the movie theater and you were hoping that the next Batman part two, as you could see the end of the story, was there.
What kind of world is this?
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, you know, you think about there was pretty much in the 40s, there was no television.
No, right? You're right.
In the average American home.
But then that's what happened when they did the two nights a week.
Yeah.
Is on Tuesday.
That's true.
You'd see episode one and they ended in this predicament. Batman and Robin were being gassed or dipped or hung or this or whatever. And it said, tune in next time. Same bat time, yeah. Same bat channel. And that you'd have to watch Thursday night to see how they got out of it and right. captured the evildoers.
And they had some pretty good ratings the first two seasons, but then they had to throw in a little something extra to boost up ratings again. They added Batgirl into that whole thing. And then Julie Newmar was playing Catwoman. And so you think
well, there
about,
were several Catwomen.
Well, it was Julie Newmar, and it was
Eartha Kitt. Mm-hmm.
But Lee Merriweather was only in the theatrical version. She never played it in the series. It was Julie Newmar for 2 years.
I thought Lee Merriweather was in the series.
No, she was never in the series. Oh, yeah, people mistaken that. Right. But here is, and I know we're going to be a little late for news, but all right, we'll do it after the news. I've got a couple of years back, I interviewed Adam West, and we'll play a little bit. There's a Chicago connection to Batman. We'll talk about that. Who's your favorite live-action superhero? I've got already people texting in. Greatest American Hero, The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Smallville, all kinds of good ones. 312-981-7200. We'll continue the conversation after the news. Next on 720 WGN. Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We are talking about the greatest live-action TV heroes of all time, 312-981-7200. 815 says, Batman was our favorite growing up. My brothers and I used to love when they would be down in the cave and Alfred coming down the secret elevator. Another one is of our favorites beside... this one isn't quite... my favorite superhero would have to be John Candy as the Incredible Bulk. On Second City TV. Okay. Well, he was live action. I'll take that.
Without the special effects.
Without the special effects, of course. You know, I was looking, Adam West right now is 88 years old. Burt Ward is 71. I don't think there's many left. A lot of the villains are still around. But I tell you, you think about this list of villains, and everybody wanted to play a villain on the show.
They brought in everyone towards the end. Some of the villains just made no sense.
Frank Gorshin, of course, as the Riddler. But John Astin played him also. Frank Gorshin was only in seasons 1 and 3. It was Frank John Astin that played him in season 2. Burgess Meredith is the Penguin. Cesar Romero is Joker. Julie Newmar, Eartha Kitt, again, Lee Merriweather. Mr. Freeze, which was played by 3 different actors, George Sanders, Otto Preminger, and Eli Wallach. Zelda the Great, there was the Mad Hatter, False Face. Well, you know, you got to come up with these things. Comic books were very... King Tut, Victor Buono, of course. Mm-hmm. Roddy McDowell as the Bookworm. Art Carney as the Archer. Mm-hmm. I don't remember Art Carney
so
much. Van Johnson as the Minstrel. Ma Parker, Shelley Williams, or Shelley Winters, I should say. Vincent Price was Egghead.
He was in a couple of episodes. There were several of the villains that made several appearances.
Yeah.
Not just one episode.
Liberace.
Oh, with his evil brother.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. Maurice Evans as who was from Bewitched as the Puzzler. I'm trying to look. Tallulah Bankhead as the Black Widow. Ethel Merman as Lola Lasagna. Okay, that one's a push. Milton Berle, Louis the Lilac.
He was hilarious.
Zsa Zsa.
Yeah.
Minerva on some of this. So I was talking to Adam West a couple years ago and talking to him about the fact that when they were first developing the series, that there was a bit of a Chicago connection. Let's take a listen.
You know, there's a Chicago connection to the beginnings of Batman on ABC. Yale Udoff, who was an ABC executive, attended a party at the Playboy Club in Chicago where they were playing the old serials that we were just talking about in the club.
Yeah.
And that gave him the idea to kind of push it, to take it to ABC and do something with it.
They were so attracted to it and amused by it that their hunch paid off.
It did. It absolutely did. Who decided to play the role of Batman in the series itself a little campier? Was it yourself? Was it William Dozier? Was it kind of a group decision that this is where we were going to take this series?
Well, we shaped the show as a social satire and a tongue-in-cheek comedy, really, for adults. And not for children, you know, they could enjoy all that other stuff. But as you got older, you caught the references and the gags. And I think it was Lorenzo Semple Jr. who wrote those first scripts, and our late executive producer, Bill Dozier, and myself. And we just got together and decided on a tone for the show.
Now, you did the pilot with Frank Gorshin as the Riddler, one of the first villains we'll talk about. Did some of the fans, when the series first came out, did they expect it to be more serious, like Superman and the Lone Ranger, than what was portrayed?
Well, I think it probably did, and among certain people at the studio who didn't understand what we were doing.
Right.
And it took, several months of just doing our thing to convince them.
Now, the show I know was going to be an hour-long show, but it was decided to split it up into two nights as a cliffhanger, which I don't think anyone has done even since then with a television series. It kind of brought back the old movie serials of, you know, you were kind of at the edge of your seat, and you didn't have to wait a whole week to get the ending.
Yeah, that was the homage to DC Comics.
Let's talk about the villains. Burgess Meredith as the Penguin.
Probably one of my three favorites. He was such a fine actor, and he brought so much comedy to it, you know, with that long cigarette holder and so on, and his attitude. He didn't need to spit out live fish. He was just erudite and a raconteur and terrific, yeah.
Cesar Romero is the Joker.
Yeah, great energy.
Great, absolutely. And then you had three Catwomen, both on the show and in the movie. You had Julie Newmar, you had Eartha Kitt, and Lee Merriweather, who did the movie version.
Wasn't Batman lucky?
I think there was a little crush on Julie Newmar. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, it could have been. You know, she was with us the most.
Oh, I got to tell you, there was a crush. I used to watch that, and I knew there was a crush between these two on the show. Other ones that are coming in, let's see here. 312, Wonder Woman. Of course, you know, I would tell you, I have an uncle that used to watch it with me, Roger. And when I was a kid, no one could talk in the room when Linda Carter would come on the screen. He just loved her. I think we have Linda Carter actually coming on the show next week.
You know,
we always like doing our little throwback conversation.
Yeah.
She was Wonder Woman. We're going to do that, of course. Why not?
That's great.
Another one was Shazam, a half-hour live-action television program filmed by Filmation. It ran from 74 to 77 on CBS as the Shazam Isis Hour.
I remember that.
Saturday mornings, yeah. Couple other fans of Superman on here, the Lone Ranger. A lot of people, of course, consider him a superhero.
Well, he's a masked man.
Yeah. Clayton Moore. John Hart, also.
A big Chicago connection there, too.
Tell me.
Clayton Moore from Chicago.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, from Edgewater area.
I did not know that.
I know several people who grew up near him.
Ooh, look
someone
that,
I think even did worked on his lawn.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Supergirl, which is on right now on CW, Smallville, of course, Lois and Clark. What else do we have on
here? That was a cute series.
Arrow was a big favorite of a lot of people, too. Legends of Tomorrow, Gotham on Fox, big one these days. Have you seen Jessica Jones or Luke Cage on Netflix?
Yes, and I'm waiting for the next series to come out on Netflix. And also Iron Fist just finished up. So those three, along with Daredevil.
Okay.
Yeah, Daredevil. That's going to be another series coming up soon. So four superheroes in one.
And Legion on FX. So many more, and appreciate your feedback on this as well. All right, we're going to talk to the folks from Smart Brew after a quick break on 720 WGN.